It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest today is our brother in Christ, Lee Schrader. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Monica.
Amen. I'm so glad you make time to come.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor. Thank you to be with you. I like you.
If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, please reach out to Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for. And stay tuned after the program. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. We'll end this program and then probably play a song or two so that we can get the iPad reset up. So stay tuned after the program for a word from Pastor Dwight. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Boy, have you ever. You know, it's like Neva and I said a while ago, don't ever ask Monica to pray over the food. Neva said, it'll get cold, and it's the truth. Anyway, no, but it's part of my love language towards you, Monica.
It's all good.
So anyway, let's pray. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read my two favorite Pauline prayers. Being Paul the Apostle. Let's just read these two. Get some things cooking here. Ephesians 1:15, Paul says this, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Here's the prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Then in Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14, Paul prays another prayer. He says this, and this is what I'm praying this morning also. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." Comprehend is revelation. "And to know," that's revelation, "the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I'm not laughing at the scripture. I'm just the joy of the Lord. Anyway, so praise God. So what I want to do is continue with a series that I started 2 weeks ago. And the reason was 2 weeks ago is I'm privileged to preach second and fourth Friday of every month. And occasionally that's preempted by Christmas or something like that, you know, or Thanksgiving. But I started a series called Redemption Facts. And there are four of those facts, and I started with the first one last 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to do the second one today, but I'm going to read all four of those facts, okay? And here they are. Number one, the Father has no favorites. We talked about that last week. Every person born into his family has the same redemption, rights, and privileges. Number two, humanity, and this is what we're going to cover today, humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of their enemy, Satan, and Satan has been conquered for us personally. Number three, where'd it go? There it is. We can say, number three, the third fact of our redemption is he was delivered up on account of our trespasses or our sins. He was our substitute and was raised as our substitute for our justification. That's our identification with Christ. And number four, we can confidently say, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and then we have our redemption, the remission of our trespasses, the sin debt has been paid. You don't owe God anything. He paid the debt. So let's go back to number two, and let me read it again, and then we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I was going to say it like Napoleon Dynamite says, a buttload, but anyway. You know where he says it in the movie? He says, there's like a buttload of gangs that are trying to recruit me because I'm pretty good with a bow staff. You'd have to watch the movie. That's one of the few movies I would really endorse. It's family friendly. It's funny anyway. So, but let's go here to Galatians, the third chapter, and we're going to read about seven different scripture references if time allows. Okay. And the Lord spoke to me while we were in here just kind of talking and speaking our love language towards one another. And he talked to me about you, Monica. Here we go again. And I'll get to it in just a minute. Galatians chapter 3. Be nice if I was in the book of Galatians. And what I want to say to you this morning is that humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of their enemy. Satan has been conquered for us personally. Okay? And the scripture I want to read is Galatians 3, 13 through 14. But what was the Lord reminded me of this morning for you, Monica, is in the same chapter. And let's start here with verse 28. No. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the new birth. Now look what it says here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Monica, what the Lord just reminded me of is, don't let anybody tell you that you can't preach and teach the word. That's a lie. Because it says right there, there's neither male nor female. And what people are going to say to you is, because you're a woman, you can't teach the word of God. And that's a lie. Now, they like to misquote the scripture where Paul restricts women in the Corinthian church, because these people were like way out of line, out of order. You know, the whole book of 1 Corinthians is about, you know, setting order in that church. I mean, they were fornicating. They were, you know, everybody was blasting out in tongues, and that tongues are great, and there's a place for them, you know, and just everything was to excess. That's where he said, let the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Let everything be done decently in order. And that's where he said, and a bunch of women in there just need to shut up. Just be quiet and let the men speak. And so a lot of people like to say, well, see, women like Pentecostals, they love that. Man, women can't, well, not Assembly of God, but some sects of the Pentecostal and a lot of Baptists, they just don't want women to teach because of that. And it's a misappropriation of scripture, because right here he says, there's neither male nor female. We're all sons of God. In fact, for years, I've qualified it that we're sons and daughters of God. I'm not saying that anymore. We're all sons of God. We're all in Christ. And so don't let anyone ever tell you that because you're a woman that you have no right to be speaking the word of God and to be preaching the word of God, because God has gifted you with the ability to teach. And I'm going to prove it, because this is the second time that I remember that this has happened. And you're witty. It means you You know, in an argument, you can come back quick with a rebuttal. Quick. I'm just like, whoa, impressed. And I don't, the previous one, I've got written down here in my prayer journal. And for brevity's sake, I'm not going to thumb through there and try to find it. But I've got it written down, okay? But here's what happened this morning. I told Monica, and I was telling her I'm dialing 911 because of what she's wearing this morning. She got leopard skin on today. She didn't even have pants and is in her shirt. Anyway, but it looks good, but not for me, you know. And anyway, so I was just kind of just gently teasing her about that, and I said, Monica, this is my love language to you, and this is one of people I really like. So here's the thing about Lee Schrader, and I love everybody, but when I say I like you, that means you have a place in my heart.
Thank you.
Because I like you. You know.
Like you too, sir.
You know. I love you, man. Everybody's, that word is so misused. You know, a lot of people say that. We love you, man. It's so misused. Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy, he used the word love a lot. And that wasn't love. Okay. So when I say I like you, so I said, Monica, here's part of my love language towards you. You're a mess. And you know what she said? This is the gift. This is the ability that God has gifted you for teaching, to take a nugget and to expand it. This is what Monica said to me. That's okay. He's turned a mess into a message. Man. Written down, folks, and dated. And you got the credit. That's because God's gifted you to teach. He's enabled you to. And that's what a teacher can do, is expand. Can take the nuggets in God's word and simplify it, but yet make it understandable to everybody and just blast it out there. That's what I do. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's move on. So anyway... So we have the four facts of our redemption, and the second one is this, is that humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of their enemy, and Satan has been conquered for us personally. And our first scripture I want to read to you is Galatians chapter 3. We're already there, 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I'm reminded of, you don't do it anymore, but when I was a kid, a boy, we had two methods of redemption for receiving goods that were real prominent, and that was S&H green stamps and golden stamps. That was our competitor, okay? And my mother, boy, I mean, she collected those S&H green stamps. And I actually got on that kick for a while. Ended up getting like a little machine gun or something with some S&H green stamps. But every time you went and shopped, that store, usually in most stores to do this, is part of the draw to get people to come to their store, grocery store. We used to go to the Mini-Max in Clean, Texas, and they gave S&H green stamps. It said, right in the front, it said, S&H green stamps with every purchase, okay? And then you would buy, and depending on how much money you spent there was how much S&H green stamps they gave you. And then you took them home, and you moistened the back of them, and you put them in the book. And then you got the catalog. I mean, this is the 60s. This is no internet. I mean, this is how we did things back then, okay? And then you had the catalog, and you look all through that catalog, and, man, I want that lawnmower. Well, you'd have to save about 300 bucks to get it. But you could actually save up enough of those S&H green stamp books, and it probably took you 2 years to fill it up. And then you would redeem it for that lawnmower, and that lawnmower was yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. No payments, no debt. You didn't know anything. It was given to you by S&H green stamps for having shopped at that store, and that store gave you those S&H green stamps, and that's what redemption is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So let's read that again. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says this: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So God redeemed us. He brought us out from darkness by making Jesus Christ sin. Now, that's one of my scriptures I'm going to use, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. This is a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do it? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now go over to Romans chapter 4, and let's look at that. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to learn about Abraham and his faith and the blessing. Now, we know, let me get a sip of coffee here just a minute. We know, we all learned this in Sunday school, but Abraham, his name was Abram. And his wife's name, Sarah, was named Sarai. Sorry, that's why it's pronounced, or Sarai, you know. But they had different names. And then God appeared to Abraham, and he said, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And in you shall all your seed be blessed. Well, you go over here to Galatians, and Paul talks about, he says that if you be in Christ, you're Abraham's seed. So he's not talking about, although it first manifested as the children of Israel, as the Hebrews, as the Jews, as the nation of Israel, but now it's been transferred over through the work of Jesus Christ and his identification with us through his substitutionary work. It's been put in us because you're born of God. You're Abraham's seed. You're in the family of God. You know, we used to sing this Bill Gaither song. I believe it was Bill Gaither. It would go like this. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Part of his family, washed in his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Love that song. We sang it last Sunday in church, by the way. But anyway, so we're part of the family of God because of the new birth, because what God has done for us and to us in the person of Christ, being baptized into Christ and being sealed with the Holy Spirit, the new birth. Okay, Jesus talked about being saved in John chapter 3 as to be born again, and 2 Peter 1:23 says we're being born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, born again. Okay, so let's read here in Romans chapter 4, and let's just start reading. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, now he's talking about actually the Jews right here, hath found? For if Abraham is justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. So what Paul's going to do here in Romans chapter 4, he's going to contrast the difference between faith and works. Now, that is in no way in contradiction to the book of James, the second chapter, where faith without works is dead. Now, what James, the second chapter, is talking about is after you're saved, you prove your faith by your works. All right? For example, let me give an example of that. And I'm not doing it to get a reward, so I keep the reward, okay? But a couple of weeks ago, Kath and I were driving home from church, and she had been gifted through her employer a gift card through Outback Steakhouse. Mm. So we're headed to Outback after church to get Lee a ribeye, you know, and baked potato, and their steamed broccoli. Love it. If you ever want to get me a meal, I like it. Did you know, I just noticed my glasses are dark. That's because of the fluorescent light. Okay, all right. Anyway, so there's two Outback Steakhouse. Well, there's actually several in Tulsa, but the two that are closest to us is one pretty close to our house there in Broken Arrow. And then there's another one over at what they call 41st and Yale. It's kind of what they call Midtown Tulsa, okay? And as we're leaving, Kathy said, well, I'm going to call up Outback, and I'm going to order your meal. And I said, don't call the one by the house. Call the one at 41st and Yale. Now that was the Holy. As you can find out, that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. It's a little bit of an inconvenience to go that way, but just order from that one. So we get on the highway and we're driving through Tulsa on I-44, and we get off at the Yale exit. And at the bottom of the Yale exit, there's a homeless guy standing there. His name is Terry Williams. I tell his name because pray for this guy now, okay? So we pull up there, and I admit, a lot of times I don't give those people money because they've got a sign. They've gone to Walmart and got them some poster board and some magic markers. But, you know, Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You know? I know Joyce Meyer says she does it every time. She says, I don't care. Joyce Meyer, she's famous. And so she rolls down her window and gives him some money, you know, gives him a couple of bucks. I got to stay on point here. So we go there, and I pull over beside him, and Kathy says, give him some money. Okay, just roll down the window. And I opened my wallet and pulled out $2, okay? And I handed him the $2. And so I asked him, I said, are you born again? And a lot of times, you know, oh, yeah, I know Jesus, you know. And he said, yes, I am. And I knew by the witness, I knew that he had been saved at some time. But he was having a tough road right now. And I said, okay, I'm glad to hear that. And God bless you, and left. Now, here's why, let me finish the story. Here's why this is important. It says, this is in James, the second chapter, where it says, faith without works is dead. What's prefaced that is said, if you see somebody who's in need and you say, be ye warmed and filled and go about your way, your faith is dead. You know what, like Christians, you know, you see this all over social media, sending thoughts and prayers. I'm praying for you. Oh, really? No, you're not. That's a cop out. Stop it. Stop it. You got to put your money where your mouth is. You really do. You really got to put your money where your mouth is. And so we left, and he's got his sign back up. He stuffed the money into his pocket, and he's working all the cars, and, you know. And so we left there, went under the I-44 overpass, drove down Yale a couple of blocks, turned into Outback, pulled into the where the sign says, you know, for curbside pickup. And we're waiting there. And Katie says, you know, we need to buy that guy a meal. Okay. So she bought him a cheeseburger with fries and I think some cheesecake or something, and she said, what should I give him a drink? I said, well, get him tea. You know, everybody can drink tea, you know. So we got my meal and got his meal, and I had to do the whoop-de-doo, go down to another mile to another exit and come back, and there he was. And I pulled up, rolled down the window. I said, do you remember me? He said, I sure do. Mm-hmm. I handed him that meal, and he began to cry. He said, I'm so hungry. I am so hungry. Thank you. And that's faith with works. He didn't mess around. He grabbed it, and he left, and we sat in the shade, and he started snarfing down that food. He probably weighed 120 pounds. He was skinny, smelled like alcohol. Didn't matter. You know, we know the story. I'll tell it again. I was hitchhiking on I-35, and that guy picked me up, and I was skinny. And I was long, had long hair, still on the effects of the previous night's partying. And the guy said, I didn't pick you up to give you a ride. I picked you up to tell you about Jesus. That's faith with works, but that's not what we're talking about here. Well, we are. But works do not justify you in the sense that's not going to get you into heaven, but it's going to prove that you are a Christian. Because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about he's redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy, okay? But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says we're saved by grace through faith and not works. Even the faith is a gift of God. It's like one of my best friends, Julie Daniel, always used to say, still says, he loaned you the faith to get saved on, okay? And he did. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith
of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith that you have right now that propels you through life as a Christian is the faith that God has given you, and it's increased as you feed on his word, okay? But after that, after you're born again, it is all about works after that. That's how you get your rewards. Oh, somebody says, well, prove it. Sure, no problem. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe two things. First, that he is. And secondly, that it is worth your while to seek God. Okay? So, after you're saved, it's all about what you're doing for the Lord. There's many people who get in. They're the 11th hour workers. They're the ones that, what I call the outer darkness crowd. They're in there. But anyway, let's move on. I got to keep myself from getting diverted like this. Verse 2 of Romans 4. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Your works doesn't get you into, doesn't bring the new birth. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now put your finger in there and go to Romans chapter 10. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him to righteousness. And later on, you can see the word imputed. That means it was credited to him. And if you go and read Hebrews chapter 11, you know that all of those in the roll call of faith, Abraham, Moses, all the prophets, Rahab the harlot, you know, Sarah, you know, everybody that's listed in there, they had righteousness imputed to them because they believed. It says they were seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. What revelation God gave them, they lived off of that all their lives. And that credited them with righteousness, that when Jesus did come and pay the debt, he paid a debt that he, another song that we used to sing, you know, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace All Day Long. He paid a debt that I could never pay, okay? Well, until that debt had been paid by Jesus Christ, until he was made, God made sin on the cross and then descended into hell and bore the wrath of God for making, taking our sin that we had done and bore the wrath that we deserved, until we could be justified according to Romans 4:25, Monica, and until that had happened, righteousness was only credited to their account. That's who the people were over there in Abraham's bosom. It's not paradise, it's Abraham's bosom, okay? So Abraham believed God. Now look in Romans chapter 10. Well, go back. You just read that, and you read in Romans chapter 4, it says, and when Abraham believed God, it was credited to him for righteousness. Psh, debt paid. Just hadn't got the money yet. I think it was here last 2 weeks ago where I talked about the person I know, who this person there, he and his wife were believing God to their faith project is to get completely out of debt, and they had two forms of debt. They had consumer debt and they had a mortgage, okay? And that mortgage was paid off. They had thousands of dollars. I think it was like $30,000 or $40,000 in mortgage, and the Lord moved upon a wealthy individual, another believer, to pay that mortgage for them. Okay, now that couple, who I know, years ago started believing for that debt to be paid, and because they were in faith, it was credited. It just took God a while to talk somebody into doing it for them. That's how it works. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. You know, a lot of times, you know, and this is a mistake that Christians make.